Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, as the former Chief Judge, Kevin Dugan, has presided over 10,000 Social Security disability hearings and had to deny claims based on mistakes made by legal representation, but now he is in private practice upon stepping down as administrative law judge. Today, Kevin will be giving us the 411 on disability law. Kevin Dugan does represent clients that have been turned down for disability coverage. I'd first like to welcome our legal panel host. Good evening, Gary Singer.
How you doing today, Phil?
Another day in paradise. And good evening, Michael Santucci.
How you doing, Phil?
And we have a special. I'm doing good. Thank you.
And the Garys. Hello.
Yeah, we got the dueling Garys back. Gary Astro, good evening.
Thanks for having me back, Phil.
It's like Angry Birds.
Yep.
Just like it.
You know, guys, majority
of Garys.
Yeah, the dueling Garys. But in all serious note, majority of people that file disability cases do get denied. But that does not mean they're not entitled to disability compensation. I'd like to welcome former Chief Judge, now in private practice, Kevin Dugan, to the program. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Hi, Phil. It's nice to be here.
Great to have you back on. You were one of our first guests many years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago. I guess that's when you just left the judgeship, so to speak.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It is.
Yeah. I'm really happy about these cookies from Veritex, by the way.
Oh, wow.
another plug for Veritex.
She's blowing kisses at you.
The largest court reporting company in the country. I learned that today.
I did not know that. Then they got cool stuff, too. You know, I understand, before we actually get into the nuts and bolts of disability law and Social Security disability insurance, I understand there's a long waiting list on cases to be heard. How long is that list?
Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's terrible. You know, in 2008, there were 750,000 cases waiting to be heard.
Wow.
Nationwide.
That's 2008.
And now there's 1,400,000.
Disability only?
Disability only, waiting to be heard. This is at the hearing level. This is after they've gone through the initial denials.
Right.
So you're looking at anywhere from a two-year to a four-year wait for these people.
You make it sound like the initial denial is routine.
It is pretty routine because it's a paper review. It's not a person-to-person review. They just look at whatever they can get on the medical records, and the problem with medical records is they don't always reflect everything. So,
you know, one of my favorite stories you told, I'm sorry for interrupting you because I couldn't wait for you to tell this story, and this is when you were on the bench, you know, especially as a chief judge, and you had this person come in who was walking with a cane. And you started asking him questions about that cane. Why don't you tell our audience and our legal panel?
So the guy's walking with the cane. And whenever anybody comes in with a medical device, be it a collar, a cane, wheelchair, first thing I'm going to do is look in the medical record and see if there's any kind of indication of that. I didn't see any, so I asked the gentleman, of course, when did you get your cane? He says, oh, this is my mom's. I got it this morning.
At least he was honest with you.
Yeah. I said, what's your poor mom doing?
Yeah, well, she's suffering greatly, filing disability claim.
She's at home. Okay, good.
But there are people, because of the beginning of the Great Recession, 2007, disability applications did go up. People all of a sudden had bad backs, couldn't work, partially because they couldn't find work as well.
Yeah, that was part of it. Part of it is if you also are marginal employee and you have a lot of problems, when the economy is good, employers are more forgiving. And when it gets tight, they're less forgiving. So that's part of it, too.
Well, the first question I have regarding Social Security disability benefits is, when do I apply for Social Security disability benefits?
Well, I would apply as soon as you think you have, as soon as you know you have a serious medical problem that's preventing you from working at this time, okay?
Right.
And you think, and you're not sure if it's going to resolve within 12 months, okay? So, for instance, I have a close relative who just had some bad medical information, find out some bad medical information about herself. Not sure if it's going to work out. So I told her, you need to file now, because if it works out, great. It doesn't cost a penny to file. You just file it and you can start the process. But if you wait, wait a year and a half, then you file. Now you've got another 3 years you got to wait. And
oh my goodness.
Who can really sustain their lifestyle that long?
Right.
I back in the day in the 80s, I know plenty of people that are still retired from it. They would file insurance disability coverage, and they would claim a disability. It was much more liberal back then, I think. I think you'll support that.
Yeah. What years are you talking about?
Back in the 80s. I know guys who were.
They had a what back then they were doing what they call a pay down the backlog mentality. And it. I've been with Social Security for a long time, and I've seen it. It waxes and it wanes. They go through this. Right now, they're through the tough phase.
Much different now than it used to be.
Absolutely. It used to be that they were paying an average of somewhere 65-plus percent of the cases. Now it's closer to 49%.
But this is nothing to do with filing a disability based on an insurance policy. That's a whole different ball game.
That's a whole different ball game. If you're lucky enough to have a long-term insurance policy, at least you have something there while you're trying to get your Social Security. So.
And last thing I want to ask, question I'm going to ask, does it boil down to a battle of the experts, like any damage case where you guys, I don't mean you guys, but the people who defend and say, well, the guy's not, the damages aren't what they claim. They have an expert who says, unless the guy's head is separated from his body, he's fine. Then you have your plaintiff's attorneys who are saying, well, the guy is disabled to this degree. Does it boil down to a battle of the experts?
Not quite in that sense, you know. Some judges will use medical experts and some don't. Some will accept what the treating physician says if it seems reasonable within the medical records that the treating physician reports. So it depends a lot on the judges which way they want to go. And so it varies. So you get a lot of variance between judges as to whether they're going to pay it or deny it.
And you can't forum shop, obviously.
No, afraid not. I'd be doing it all day.
Yeah, I bet.
Are the benefits taxable to the recipient?
Oh, good question. No,
I'm not a tax expert.
Yeah,
I know.
We all avoid questions like that. So.
Well, I mean, again.
I believe above a certain amount, yes.
But how does Social Security determine disability?
Try to make it as easy as possible in layman's terms. Basically, you're not working. You have a severe medical problem. And then they look at the kind of symptoms or functional limitations that medical problem causes.
The different
impairments. So does it stop you from walking? Does it stop you from sitting for a long period of time? Do you have difficulty handling objects? Are you losing focus? Memory, that sort of thing. They add up these functional limitations and they use a vocational expert. Now that's called by the judge and that's pretty standard. And they give testimony based on the dictionary occupational titles and their experience as to what effect those functional limitations have on their employability.
So I file, I get turned down. Okay, it's matter of course. I get turned down. Do they tell you why you're turned down or they say denied?
Well, usually they'll say either you can go back to your last job or you can do some other kind of work.
Okay. And then I call you and I say, listen, I filed because, you know, I don't need you to file. That's not what your job is. But then I got denied. Now that's where you come into play.
Well, I hope you do it within the 60-day period you're supposed to do it, okay? That's don't let your time slip away.
So it's an appeal. Right away. It's an appeal that they're undertaking.
Yes. Yes. So we got to appeal that within 60 days. Then I'll file the appeal, and then we'll wait for the hearing. At the time of the then we'll update your medical, and then I'm going to prepare you for the hearing. I'll prepare a pre-hearing brief, and you'll be ready
and
to go.
Is that before a judge? I mean,
yes.
So
yes.
You used to sit on the other side then.
Yeah.
Yes. And but they don't have any prosecutor presenting the government's case.
No, they don't. They don't.
In the world of Social Security disability, is there limitations despite the damages? Are you limited because it's Social Security, or are the damages based on your disability and your loss of income?
No. It's not damages. It's benefits. That's how okay. They use the term. And it's based on your Social Security earnings, basically.
Oh, so it's limited.
Just like
by
your retirement, what you would get at age 65, that's what you're going to get on disability.
So what if I'm 65 and I'm disabled,
well, then you're
but I want to work?
Then you're not getting disability. After 65, after your full retirement age, it doesn't do you any good.
Wow.
Okay, but what a lot of people don't know is if you're at your early retirement age, you can file early retirement and disability at the same time.
What age is that?
62.
Well, Gary,
62 in some months right now.
I just hit it. No, I hit it in January. I'm 62 years old, so yeah, I think I got 3 years.
Well, I don't think you're disabled. Sorry.
I didn't say I was. Yeah. I didn't say I was. Yeah, I don't have a lawyer yet, so I'm going to hold off.
After you wait to 3 years, if you're then approved on this appeal, do you get your back pay?
Well, what a lot of people do is they go ahead and get their – they have to do it because they don't have any other money. They're going to get their reduced benefits. But if they can get the disability, ultimately, it'll end up getting the full benefit amount retroactively, plus for the rest of your life. And that's where the big money comes in, the rest of your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when it comes to disability law, though, it's obviously there for a purpose. It's there to help take care of you at a time of great need. And the delay can be time-consuming. People could die waiting to get it.
Yeah.
Sincerely, does it affect your other spouse though? I mean, if I file for disability, and my wife is not disabled, but she's gainfully employed, she may make more money than me. Is that taken into account?
Well, not for your SSDI, not for your regular disability.
So I could be a multimillionaire and be injured, being I paid into the system.
As long as you're covered, it's like an insurance policy. You paid for it, so you're entitled to it. It's not a matter of means tested. Now, there's SSI, which is a means tested program, and that's for people who haven't paid into the system or who haven't paid enough into the system. So that's a different thing, and you're getting a lot less on SSI than you will on Title II. But Title II is your retirement system, basically. And that's the way it was set up to begin with.
Kevin, I know there's a movement now with veterans' benefits to make sure that the people who are helping the veterans fill out the applications are certified in some way. Is there a limitation similar or a trend towards that in what you do with Social Security benefits?
Well, they allow non-attorneys to practice Social Security, but now they have a certification process for them.
Is it mandatory?
Yes, if you're a non-attorney.
And do
the attorneys.
I know with the veterans, a lot of the practitioners that help with the veterans benefits do it on a contingency basis, usually based off the first lump sum, of course, retroactive check. Is it similar in your world, in disability world? Or?
Yes, it's not all, but virtually every case is a contingency case. And Social Security controls the award of attorney fees, so it has to be approved.
Yeah. Okay, so that's part of what you're doing when you're on the appeal, or is it just a percentage?
You get 25% of back benefits. Okay. So. But there's a limit, only $6,000 a case. Now, on other types of cases like overpayments, those you just take direct payment on.
And is there a trend to tighten it up? Because I know that's really a pretty heavy trend to push now to cut the amount that people can get as a contingency in VA stuff. Are you seeing that in Social Security?
No. They're not cutting the amount. They're just trying to hold down the approval rate right now. That's That's what they're doing now.
Now, the three-year thing, I'm sorry.
Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, the three-year part's kind of ridiculous. I mean, why don't they hire more judges?
Oh.
I mean, it's 3 years. As people are, you know, disabled.
Well, you know, Fort Lauderdale actually has hired a bunch of new judges, but they didn't hire any clerks to service them.
Typical
and now
bureaucracy.
If the cases aren't prepared and ready for the judges, you know, and now the problem is they have this big backlog in writing. It can take 3 months after you have your hearing to get a decision. You know, it's
that's crazy.
It's a big bureaucracy, I'll tell you. And the problem is that management up in Baltimore, they keep coming up with these great plans. And they keep giving themselves great
raises.
Bonuses.
Yeah.
But now the backlog's 1,400,000. So.
Kevin, quick question. Wow. If the VA says someone's disabled, Social Security may still deny their disability claim. How does that happen?
That's true. That's true because, this is it. Social Security will tell you that VA and Social Security have two different standards, which is true.
One's the higher standard, or is that a no-brainer?
Well, see, it depends on what you're going for, because the VA, you're trying to get your service connection, and for Social Security, it doesn't matter how it's connected or anything. But now they are making them at least explain. Social Security is having to explain if they don't accept the VA rating, and they're getting better at it. They're getting better at it because I have a number of veterans that have gone through and they've all been approved now.
Great to hear.
Yeah, they're government agencies. If one is a government agency, it should also work together. I mean, to me, that would make sense and be cost efficient, but that's not the government.
Phil.
What am I thinking? Am I La La Land? But no, in all seriousness, because you are a Chief Justice, and actually, what is a Chief Justice in this particular court?
Well, you try to cajole the other judges because you can't directly influence them. You know, you're just trying to help them. But basically, you're responsible for the staff that serves all the judges, you know. And that was about 100 people over at Fort Lauderdale office. You know,
and now that you're in private practice, I know they don't do any favoritism. But are some of the judges still in where you were when you were a judge?
Yeah, and some of them won't take my case because I used to be their boss.
Oh, okay.
And you know, I'm fine with that if they feel that gives an appearance of impropriety. But actually, the newer judges that have come in, they're all very good, I have to say. They have a bunch of great new judges there that listen to the people and give them a fair decision. And that's all you can ask for out of them.
How does someone become that kind of judge?
Hmm?
How does someone become that kind of judge?
That's a kind of a long process. You know,
it's
about 3 years to do it. You got to take an exam. You got to go through a rating process. It is a long process. It's handled by the Office of Personnel Management centrally.
Okay.
And then when like an agency like Coast Guard or someone wants an ALJ, they send a OPM and they pick them off the list in terms of their scores.
So basically you apply to become an administrative judge anywhere, and then you get put to an apartment.
Yeah, you don't know where you're going to end up.
So in effect, it's almost like a federal job.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
But, you know, we've had
they give you like a bar exam test,
oh,
and they rate that. Then they interview you. Then